problem in. And in 1850, he was in Indiana, Iowa, in the 1850 census, and it lists his kids there. And one of them was born in Missouri in about 1844. So somehow he seems to have gone from Ohio to Missouri for a while, and then to Iowa. And there's a record that in a church start there in Iowa, he was one of the earliest members of it. He was a circuit rider in the Christian church.
I knew he was a circuit riding preacher, they said.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, the 1850 census in Iowa, living close by is a fellow named Jury Todhunter, which was his father-in-law. So his father-in-law was there in Iowa with him. But sometime around 1852, he came west on the Oregon Trail. And I haven't found a record of him coming on the trail among those who came. And I don't know where he came from. Independence and St. Joseph were starting points, and Council Bluff, Iowa, I think were starting points. So he may have started in Iowa. He ended up here in 1852, 53, and got land. He's recorded as performing marriages in Lane County, three of them, in the 1853 to 54 era. And he bought, he's in 1854, he's in Benton County, Oregon, in a local census. The 1850s, he preached at Pleasant Hill. See, that's south of Eugene?
Yeah.
Pleasant Hill. Mm-hmm. And he's... in the mid-1850s, he went to Washington, and he's recorded as preaching different places all the way up to Olympia, Washington.
He traveled, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did.
Is that what they call an itinerant preacher?
Right. I think so. They call it a circuit rider.
Oh, circuit rider. Yeah.
And several places he bought and sold land.
We heard that his wife with him was a midwife. Do you know anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that.
That's what I heard down.
Yeah. I suspect, and I think I've heard, that they did not pay their preachers, and I have a suspicion that he was a carpenter, that he would buy land, build a house, and sell it, and then move on. He got his donation land claim. Let's see, where was that? Was that near Monroe? Yeah, I think he got his donation land claim. Are you familiar with the little town of Monroe? Between Corvallis and Eugene.
Yep.
And then he sold that and in later years bought a piece of land almost right next to it. But I've looked at the records from the Christian church, and he's recorded a few places, but he's not the most significant player there. The analogy I would use is that if he was a pastor on the staff of a church, he would be the associate pastor. There's other names that seem to be more prominent. And he just went up and down the coast, apparently, several places. And he was listed as a circuit rider. Well, I guess they called him circuit riders. Mm-hmm. But, and I've got four or five or half a dozen places where he bought and sold land. And he had a whole bunch of kids. Let's see. I've got a list of kids comparing their ages from various census records. It was Lewis himself. His wife's name was Eliza Carolyn, but she went by Carolyn. There was Jerusha Ann, Martha Ellen, Jasper Newton, Harriet Louise, Clorinda, Jury Arsenis, Charles Francis, the one I'm descended from.
Yeah, that's who we're from.
Lewis Harvey, Alta Carolyn, and Emma Athier, or something like that.
Goodness, how many is that?
He had a whole bunch of kids.
Many.
What was his wife's maiden name?
Todhunter.
Todhunter.
Yeah.
And you say there's some Todhunters?
I think in my husband's family. I think. Or maybe it's just...
But it looks like, are most of them here descended of Charles Lewis? He had a whole bunch of kids too. Harvey and...
And Harvey's your great-grandfather.
Percy.
Percy. Art.
Harvey's grandfather.
Several others.
See some of the other cousins.
Yeah. Was there Lloyd?
Yeah. Hi, honey.
We getting a history lesson?
Sure. Yeah, yes. Sort of, yeah.
Tell us about Charles Castile.
This is Lewis. And,
Lewis Castile.
Yeah.
Hey, Sharon.
Yeah.
Want a seat?
Well, I can have one for a little while. Yes, thank you. And it's all warm.
Yeah, let's see, what did I say? He went as far north as Olympia. And somebody named Rigdon seemed to be more of a leader in the church, and he was a consistent leader. He bought land in Lane County and sold it.
Okay, honey.
He died fairly young. He died in 1866.
And where is he buried?
At the Bethel Cemetery. Have you ever heard of it? It's...
There's one in Yamhill County.
Yes, that's it.
Have you ever seen his grave?
Mark? Yes, no. I have. I've seen
I it. Haven't.
What's the cemetery's name?
Bethel.
Oh, Bethel.
It's out of McMinnville.
Yeah, where the other Castiles are buried?
No. He's the only one, he and his wife were the only ones buried there. If you go south out of McMinnville, out of Amity, there's a place where there's a flashing yellow light.
If
you go east from there, about a mile, and then south, half a mile, up on a little hill, there's a cemetery.
Yeah.
And his grave is well marked. The first time we went there, I couldn't find it. But there is a name of the cemetery association there, the people who keep it up. And I called them, and they told me where it was. And the next time I went there, the gravestone had been cleaned up. We stopped there. When did we stop there? The way up a couple of times? Last spring?
Yeah, but you had stopped there earlier.
Yeah, I've stopped there a couple of times earlier.
You better go get something to eat, honey.
But, yeah, so his gravestones, they're vertical gravestones, side by side. An inscription.
That's his youngest. Who's Judy's youngest?
His gives his name, Lewis Castile, and the birth date and the death date. Hers says, is it E. Carolyn, wife of Lewis Castile, and her birth and death dates. So if you're ever down that way, you might want to try to look it up.
Mm-hmm. But left at the blinking light?
Yeah, as you're going south, left at the blinking light.
On Old 99 out of Amity.
You go about a mile, and there's a big sweeping curve, and you go about a half mile south of that. The road begins to veer a little bit to the left, and there's a little dirt road that goes up a little hill. It's easy to miss.
Yeah.
I can draw you a better map.
Now tell us about Charles Castile, how he met his wife, and how they ended up in Tualatin.
Okay, I wish I knew more about that. Charles Castile was born in, and I'm not sure where he was born.
McMinnville, in Yamhill County.
Well, Yamhill County doesn't have a record of his birth.
They don't.
This is 1854. I don't know what the counties in Oregon were at that time. At one time, there were four counties in Oregon.
Right.
In the northwest, there was Tualatin County. And in the southwest, Yamhill County, and in the southeast, Shampooey County, which includes almost all of Oregon. If you draw a line sort of through Portland, and in the northeast was Clackamas County, which went as far up into British Columbia, because the border hadn't been settled there. But that included northeastern Oregon and Washington and over to Idaho. Mm. So I don't know what Yamhill County was in 1854. And as I mentioned to somebody, I'm not sure the year of his birth. This is Charles Francis Castile. Dee, you know Aunt Dee, Art's wife?
Yeah.
She made lists. My mother had five lists of the kids. And it was equally divided between 1854 and 1856. Divide five into two equal parts. Two of the lists gave his birth year as 1854, two of them gave 1856, and another one had, I think, 54 with a 4 crossed out and a 6 written over it. Mm-hmm. But based on census records, I think it was 1854. His tombstone says 1856. But the early census records, 1860, put him, I think it's 6 years old in 1854, 1860. So if he was six, he would have been in 1854. Anyhow, he was born, the tradition is he was born in Yamhill County.
Was he the oldest of the children?
No. Oh, Charles, no, he was way down the list. Lewis had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 kids, and he was about number 8.
Supposedly he was born on Poverty Bend Road where Diana lives.
Well, what time did, when did Lewis come out here again?
1852. But he had a whole bunch of kids before he came
out. I see.
When he came.
He had some born in Indiana. Indiana. One born in Missouri and some in Iowa.
It's nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Josh. Bye-bye, honey.
Nice to see you, Josh.
Yeah, I think Charles Castile may have been the... He was the first one born in Oregon. Yeah, there were two or three born in Ohio, one in Indiana, one in Missouri, one in Iowa, two in Iowa, and then three or four in Oregon. So he was very prolific, as well as being a circuit writer.
Those preachers, you know, what can I say?
Whenever he came home, if she didn't go with him, then...
One of the tragedies is that the county seat used to be in Lafayette, and they had that big fire and destroyed a lot of the old, old records.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Charles and Emma's marriage license, there is a book there, a register, and they signed in it there at the Lafayette Museum, but anything beyond that was burned and destroyed, so it'd be hard to...
Yeah, Lafayette was a major city, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was
the jumping off point to go south.
Yeah, so that kind of wiped out a lot of the history.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you find that quite often in doing genealogy, that the old courthouses burned down and the records are gone.
Mm-hmm. All the census records for 1890 are gone. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read someplace that a fire destroyed about a third of them, and another third was very badly damaged, but water damage and fire. Hmm. And so they destroyed all of them, except there's maybe a few hundred or a few thousand records left. But basically, the 1890 census is gone.
Wow.
And the early census, 1790 was the first one, and 1800 were... The record is they were destroyed in the War of 1812.
Hmm.
So some of those early censuses by state are missing. Hmm. And they've tried from old records to reconstruct what the census probably was. But and I don't know if they've tried to reconstruct the 1890 census or not. But there's reconstruction of the 1790 census for, I don't know, Virginia and some of those states.
Well, tell us about Charles' wife.
Okay, she was Emma Jane Peters. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Her father was Jason Peters, who came to McMinnville in 1845 as a single man. He was on the Blue Bucket Mine. Have you heard of the
Lost? Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, he was on that.
Stephen Meek, uh-huh. The cutoff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Some guy named Meeks said he knew a shortcut to the Oregon Trail. And a bunch of them followed him and wandered around Central Oregon for weeks and weeks. I understand they had when Meeks was finally trying to find their way out, they had a discussion of whether when he came back they should shoot him or hang him. But they finally made it. And so he was out here by himself. And then I can't quite figure out what happened. A woman named Anne Wright, who apparently was a widow, lived with her daughter, Carol.
Eleanor.
Eleanor C. Wright. Eleanor Wright McCullough. in Missouri in 1850. And they came out together, and Eleanor married Jason Peters and got her donation land claim. See, their land claim was down just the southeast part of Yamhill County. The road that goes from Salem up to, is it Dayton? It sort of straddled that road, mm-hmm. just north of the Yamhill County border.
So they got a 600 acres donation land claim?
No, it was 1852 when they...
Oh, 52 when they... Oh,
so they got 320 acres. And they then eventually bought land in McMinnville. Now, her mother, Anne Wright, came out as a widow, and she married McBride, Thomas McBride.
The
original McBride. Mm-hmm. He came out here as a 70-year-old, sort of by himself, and a twice widowed.
He wasn't the judge, McBride, was he?
No,
okay,
that was either his son or grandson.
Okay.
Because this was Thomas Crawford McBride.
That's why the cemetery is named McBride Cemetery.
Right. It's he's buried there. And
a mile from us.
He and his wife, new wife, Anne, got a donation land claim that encompasses that present cemetery. It was, of course, a lot bigger. And then he died, and she married a guy named Davidson, who had come out early. And interestingly enough, there's a land sale from Anne Wright to Jason Peters and his wife. It lists the sale under the name McBride,
oh, yeah.
And then they bought it back in just a few days under the name her name Davidson, her remarried name.
So that gave him a lot more property?
Well, he had sold the other property.
Oh,
he
had sold it.
Yeah, and yeah, it's the deed to one of the lands referred to from Anne Wright, referred to her daughter Eleanor Wright. So the connection, firm connection, can be made that way. Deeds often have some connection with relatives, or and let's see, both Jason Peters and his wife Eleanor and her son by an earlier marriage are buried in the McBride Cemetery. And for Eleanor and her son, it gives a birth and death date, but for Jason, it only gives a birth date. So I had no idea when he died. And I was in Portland, Multnomah County Library, and in their card index card, they had a list of different people. I looked him up, and it said he died in 1894. So we were at the State Archives in Salem, and I asked if they had death records back that far, and they said no, except for Portland they did have. And he died in Portland. So I got a death record from him. He died in whatever hospital it was in Portland in 1894. And knowing the date, I went to the University of Oregon Microfilm Library, where they have microfilms of old newspapers, and found an obituary for Jason. So it was quite a search. But so I know his death date then.
Does it say anything about his wife's family, the Peters?
Jason Peters was born in Tennessee in 1822. He was down the list of several kids. His father was Tobias Peters. And years ago, I talked to some of the Peters, and they had not been able to go back any further. Tobias came from, I think it was Greenbrier, Virginia, which is now in West Virginia. But I haven't been able to trace it back any further. There's a fairly well-known Peters family who's been written up, but I don't think they're related. Anyhow, They're in Anderson County, Tennessee. And there's still Peters there. And Jason did not like Indians. He fought against the Cherokees in Tennessee. He was born in 1820. So about 1838, there's a record. And it says in the record that he owes the federal government 13 cents. He lost his wiper, which I presume was a wiper for a musket rifle. So
he owes the government for his weapon.
Yeah, so I guess we owe the government now.
Yeah, what's the interest on that?
Well, if you divide it among all of us, I think we can afford it. And then when he came out here, he fought against the Cayuse Indians. But what he did from 1845 to 1852 when he was married, I don't know. And he's not in the 1850 census here, but he's in an earlier listing, so he may have gone off to the Mexican War for all I know. And then he settled down and had a bunch of kids. My grandmother, Pearl, was born in McMinnville. And how he happened to move to Tualatin, Jason didn't move to Tualatin. It was Charles Castile.
Charles moved to Tualatin.
Oh, so Charles and Emma married in Yamhill County?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yes, in Lafayette's records.
It is in Lafayette. Yeah.
And where was Emma married, born?
Emma? Here, wait a minute. Emma.
Charles' wife.
Yeah.
Emma Peters.
Probably in Yamhill County.
She was been... Emma.
Emma Peters.
Yeah, she
Peters. So where was Jason at that point?
They were in McMinnville, that area. So that's where he was married. Charles Castile married Emma Jane Peters on 26 November 1876 at the home of Emma's father, Jason Peters. Witnesses were Alexander Castile. Does that mean any, Alexander Castile?
There's a picture in there of Alexander Castile.
Wow.
Never heard of an Alexander.
Who is Bob Castile near Portland?
A lot of times he's here. He wasn't here last year. He lives at Beaverton. He may be gone now. Remember when Bob Castile came, his son brought him?
Was his son also named Bob?
I think so. Do you
remember?
We
visited
Eddie?
Them 1 year.
One of them was a teacher at Portland State. His son, I think, was a teacher at Portland State.
How's he related to
hearing?
I think he said that his father would have been Charles's brother.
As many kids as
they had,
as Louis Castile had, that's very reasonable. Yeah.
Well, I brought a book on the Civil War, and there's a Robert H. Castile that was killed in the Civil War from Oregon.
So the Bob Castile...
I don't know who he belongs to.
Yeah, the Bob Castile we're talking about could very well have been a son or a nephew of the one who was killed.
Mm-hmm. And Myrna, there were two of those men... remember the older guy that wore the little...
Yeah, that was Bob Castile,
Okay, and then his son. Was the Portland State professor.
Yeah, professor. Somewhere
and
I've got his...
And there was a grandson.
Yeah.
And he would take his grandpa places, like here.
Yeah.
There's a book on the Castiles that somebody wrote that I guess was Bob Castile showed me. And at the end it has some brief discussion of our Castiles. And the author wasn't really able to make much connection. And she had not been able to verify the Spanish connection. But there's lots of Castiles in Ohio. And just how these all fit together, I don't know.
Why do you have any idea why the Castiles left Spain?
No
idea.
Was
it some religious persecution?
No idea at all.
That's what I had always heard.
I had heard that too,
yeah.
And that because the Spain is predominantly Catholic, I would, and if he was a Christian.
And they were Jews.
They were Jews.
Uh huh.
Well, the Castiles were?
That's what we understood. Oh. And they fled.
Fled
Spain, the three brothers.
Oh my gosh, that's an interesting story.
I was told there was three brothers, and they settled back east in Minnesota or Wisconsin, and they changed the spelling of their name. And then, was it one or two came out to Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what I heard was that there were two, maybe the two who came out to Oregon, and one of them changed the spelling.
Wow. So I don't read.
But it was Minnesota or someplace?
Well, kind of, but
in the pictures I have, there's a picture of a family, and all it says on that is Minnesota cousins. I don't know if they're Castiles or who they are.
Okay. So.
And there was a distant relative that lived in Albany that my mom found. And she's since passed away, but I cut her obituary out because her name was the same as my grandmother's name, and you read that in the paper, and it just kind of startles
Jerry.
When you know, because Grandma passed away many years ago, and then I read this Vera Castile passed away, and it just... But I remembered Mom saying that there was a Castile in Albany that was a distant relative.
Well, now, so anyway, Charles and Emma ended up in Tualatin.
Yes.
Where did they live in Tualatin? I know he worked for the mill company.
They lived right behind Grandma and Granddad's house.
Little
bit of a house.
But didn't he get that from the insurance when he lost his arm?
Yeah, I don't know where they lived before that.
Let's see.
Did they live in Sipal?
I don't know. I've never heard that. All I've heard is the place. Well,
I think they were given that place when he, maybe the Ancient Order of United Workmen.
The United Artisans.
The United Artisans.
And that has changed its name since. I've looked through land records in Hillsborough to try to figure out what it is. It's interesting that. I guess when Charles died, the land was given to all of his descendants, and then all of them sold, the remaining ones sold to Harvey and Art and Percy.
Aunt
Sade, I think it was.
Aunt Sade lived there too.
And then Art and Percy sold their interest to Harvey. But
well, he was working at the Smith sawmill. Is that correct? When he lost his arm,
he at some sawmill. Yes, mm-hmm. He lost. Was it his right arm? He lost.
I don't know which arm it was. Yeah.
And then he lost fingers on his other hand. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a different time. But
that was a different time.
My dad said they rushed him to the hospital, mm-hmm. tried to sew, so and the Smith ladies tried to sew the arm back on, and they rushed him to the hospital, but it didn't take. And that John L. Smith met him in the hospital and made him sign something that he wasn't responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they buried the arm somewhere in Tualatin. And what? Charles told my dad that every time he went around that corner, his stump hurt. Now, that's what he told my dad.
Come back.
Well, I've heard that, though, that the stump hurts. And then he lost his fingers. I thought it was a Nyberg quarry.
It may have been. Yeah, I don't know where it was. I don't... But he lost his finger, so he had really a thumb and finger on one hand.
And no arm on the other.
And apparently he managed to do a lot of things with that...
Did you ask about Carlton?
Disadvantage, to say the least.
The information I had, I got it from, I guess, the book on Twilight, and he lost his eye in a sawmill accident. And then
evidently burned
a rock quarry. So same source, whatever source you had.
Born in McMinnville.
So, but he was able to do quite a bit, apparently.
Goody, goody.
And Arlene would talk, Evelyn used to talk about how he would do so many things. He would pick gooseberries, and he would have
anything.
A garden. And then he pushed the mail cart from the railroad to the post office, apparently.
She's got your email address, and she
I know Mom talked about him, and she said you'd never know that he lost an arm.
Really?
Because he could do everything
And did he and his wife die about the same year?
Could be.
Yes. Let me see. 1932.
Three. So you can give one to Patty and one to...
And I think they died... Yeah, he died on 27 June. And I think she died...
She died
roughly.
In 31, I think.
31.
Right after. I was born in 31. I think she died right about then.
Oh. I think it was within a few months of each other, one way or the other.
Oh,
hi. Hi.
So,
how are you?
Good, darling. How are you doing?
Good. I was
How's
hoping
school?
You were still here. It was
fun.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Good to see you.
Oh, just showing off Grandpa's cars to
buy
mine. Yeah.
You're trying to buy one?
No. Goodness, no.
He's teaching us some what he's found out about our great-great-great-grandfather.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, listen.
Yeah, he's an interesting character back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Jamie?
And the Harvey.
Well,
since
I
we're,
saw you last year.
So many of these folks are descended from Harvey. You're descended from Vera.
Percy.
Percy.
Cool,
Percy.
Yeah. Okay.
So then Harvey met... Your grandmother.
How did he meet Grandma?
How did he meet? Anybody
was
know?
She housekeeping for somebody?
Sagers.
And that something like that is how they met. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, she was a remarkable woman. I remember her. Of course, she was my great aunt, but I remember her so well.
Rosa. I remember her too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
had the reunion at their house.
I went to the reunion probably in 1952. When I was my brother and I were students at Linfield. And I said, I may have gone to the reunion in 1932, 31, yeah. My mother once said she came down from Idaho when I was a baby. And
yeah, she was a remarkable woman, and I don't think she had much in the way of an education. But I've heard
she went to work right after her mother died. She started housekeeping for people. And
Grandma Rose?
Uh-huh. Oh. She was older than Aunt Emma, wasn't she? Do you know? Or Uncle John? I don't know where she was in the lineup. Do you?
Sure.
She one of the older kids.
One of the younger, I think.
Oh.
I think Nettie was older than her. My grandmother.
Okay, Nettie.
And Aunt Emma was her grandmother.
We have a list at home with all the Juergens. Do you folks have that?
No.
I don't know that I do.
I should make a copy of that.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
And did some lady live with Emily upstairs?
Well, Mert. Is,
okay.
Did
the lady's
Sharon
name
go
was
home?
Mert.
Lived with who?
Was she with...
She was Myrtle Ladd, and she was old Mrs.
Yeah,
Ladd's daughter, Myrtle Ladd's sister. And she was pretty much deaf. You remember her? You don't?
Not right off.
She was real tall. And she and Emma used to collect golf balls.
Yes.
Okay.
I could see her, walking down the road.
We're on the school bus, and we see this lady out there getting her golf ball. Didn't have a clue who she was.
What was the name you mentioned, Emma?
Emma Ladd.
Juergens.
Emma Juergens Ladd.
She was Rosa's sister.
Yeah,
okay.
Rosa's sister, my grandfather's sister.
So there's quite a few Emmas floating around.
I know it's.
And Emma has become a common name.
It has.
It
is. Very, very, very popular. Yeah.
Could I have that picture? I wanted to hold it up.
I don't think we'll see Gertrude as a common name.
Oh, no. Beulah, we don't hear that much.
One of my ancestors was Mehetabel.
What?
Mehetabel.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that in the Bible?
Yes.
I ate for you, too.
So who is that?
I feel miserable.
I want you to take off your glasses and we'll hold that up so we can see how much you look like her.
Who is it? She looks like
Emma Rose. That's Grandma Rose.
Do I really?
Turn it around. Don't you think the eyes and the cheekbones?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. My God, I adored her. I want a copy of that picture.
Diana's going to do some emailing for me.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wants to know who Amelia is. Was that
Amelia was one of the Juergens girls, and she died in childbirth.
She died early.
Died in childbirth.
Oh, she in childbirth.
Yeah, if you've got any of that on the Juergens, it'd be fun to go through it.
Well, you know, I did send around this letter that came from Czechoslovakia. That I don't think I sent it to you, but I sent it to you, and I should.
You should send it to me.
What?
Send it to me, I'll give it to
you. Well, give me your email address.
Oh.
Or I could, or your addresses, so I could send, because everybody needs to know about that. That came, so it was a letter that came from Czechoslovakia after the Second World War to my great grandmother's, to the Jurgens family, who it, that's where she came from. Mm-hmm. And they were asking for food and clothing because they were so desperately poor.
Diana,
the war was, you know, they were all working, and the war was, you know, everything was taken out of the country to pay the war damages. And they did send something, but Anna's got that original letter, but it came to Lou and Nettie.
See how rich you are.
And, yes.
Think about what. Yeah.
I've got a note here that after Charles and Emma died in 1932, the survivors, who include six living children, they had seven children, six living, and then the deceased one had four ancestors. They bought land from the Artisan Life Association, which was formerly the United Artists.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why I couldn't find them in the records in, in Hillsborough, because it was now Artisan. So apparently this group still owned the land and let Charles and Emma use it.
I see.
I'll try to find out exactly what happened.
Were they Charles and Emma?
No, I don't. It was United Artisans, whatever that was.
It was insurance or something?
Yes, it was insurance, I guess.
Yeah, it was one of those fraternal organizations that sold insurance.
Okay, so they...
Like Woodmen of the World.
So they sort of let Charlie use it during his life. And then when he died, the kids bought it. And then each child had a 1/7 interest. But one was deceased, so his four descendants each had a 1/28 interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they... The other landowners and their spouses, this was in 1933, sold their interest to Harvey and Percy and Art. And then Percy sold his interest to Art, and then to Harvey, and then Art sold his interest to Harvey.
Oh, so that's how, okay.
And then in later years, Aunt Sade and Uncle Bill lived there, but I don't think they owned it.
I remember
they built a little cabin, a little house.
I assumed that was the same house that the old folks lived in.
No, that was over the bend, over the hill.
Where was it? Let's see, that is just beyond Oil Can Henry's. Where was the land?
It was up the hill from...
Up the hill.
Up
the hill, yeah. I remember being there, being up the hill. But now, what happened to the house that Charlie had?
The Charlie's house apparently burned down, did you say?
Rose's
house is still there. It's moved across the street.
Across the street?
Yeah, Rose and Harvey's house, yes.
Right behind Uncle Henry Jurgens.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it just on the street there, or is it back a ways?
It's back a ways. There's a little house that our Uncle Henry Jurgens built and lived in, and Rose and Harvey's house is right behind that.
Okay.
They have built onto it on one end. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's still occupied then.
Yes, And Aunt Rose was just the neatest little housekeeper. She was a Wonder Woman.
Spit and polish.
I don't know why I remember that house.
She really didn't like to come up to our house because,
she
didn't.
Kids,
so. And she let Mama know that she didn't like the way she kept out, the way she didn't keep out.
Well, she had nothing to work with.
She had, yeah.
We had to wash our feet before we spent the night.
Oh, my goodness.
No, Alton said something about they're giving land for the railroad right of way. Was that before they? That must have been before they got the land.
I don't know.
Because the railroad went through there.
1907 or so.
1907.
I don't know when he lost his arm.
Okay.
Or when he got that property.
I don't think I've seen whether it was it was after they moved to Tualatin, I guess.
I think so. Well, I'm not sure.
We have that letter there for the Historical Society. She mentioned in that.
I'll have to check on that. I'll check that.
Okay, an interesting thing is that in 1880, he's in Washington.
These old guys just travel.
Dayton. Dayton, Washington. I've seen other ancestors in Dayton, Washington, about that time also. So something was going on there.
Wasn't that a big wheat growing country?
Yeah, it's wheat, it's dry land.
It's in the
Mom, that would be those
general area of
the wheat farmers that you said you weren't sure who they were.
That could have been. Either them or the Andrews. The Andrews farmed over there too.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Well, they farmed over where?
Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington.
Well, the pictures that we have of the Andrews day, big, great, big old-fashioned threshing machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was, in Eastern Oregon, or was that down in this area?
I think it was in Eastern Washington, actually.
Oh.
But
it's
I'm
a great
sure.
picture. Yeah.
Well, it seems like, as I said, some other ancestor was in Dayton, Washington about that time.
Mm. Dayton's northeast of Walla Walla.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, up in the farm, the wheat land, isn't it, John?
But why did they go there and then come back? See, too bad there's no 1890 census.
Yeah.
No, we don't. We'll find out.
See, where is Poverty Bend?
It's between McMinnville and Carlton.
Okay, is it
a little mile long?
It's 2 miles long. It connects Highway 47 and West Side Road.
Okay, I was going to say, I've seen something that came off 47.
And I live right in the middle of it. It's 2 miles long, and I live right in the middle, and I would just love to know where they were on that road.
Okay, now, Alton said that he used to know the house they were in.
Really?
I want to know.
But
my house is...
I'm thinking it's that house that they tore down might have been in.
No, it was... No, oh. I know who built that one. The house I'm in was built in 1880s or 90s. And it was built there on Poverty Bend Road.
Okay, I think Alton said he knew the house where his mother was born.
Oh.
But Alton's gone now.
Yeah. Hmm. And I'm not sure he knew exactly where it was. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So Pearl was born in what? About 83, I guess it was. If I remember correctly. Mm-hmm.
1883. Where was Pearl born?
McMinnville.
Oh. So and Harvey was born there too, did you say?
I'm not sure where Harvey was born. He was...
See you, darling.
No, Harvey's not. Well, it was Harvey's father that lived there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he married the Peters.
Peters. Girl. Yeah, we think that's the ones.
Yeah. Harvey was 3 years younger than Charlie Castillo. Mm-hmm. About 3 years younger.
But those records have been burned, you know, that this is a...
They didn't go back
far. But often there's other records. There's land records or something.
I don't know if you can still do it, but I used to look at land records. You go to the county offices, you look at microfiche or microfilm, and you can see that so-and-so's sold to such-and-such. Mm-hmm. So you can look it up there. It's hard to do. Yeah.
And that's how you can follow Louis Castillo, because they're in Benton County and Lane County and I don't know what counties. Back in Indiana, a couple of counties that I've got purchased, but I don't have sale records for them. But at least I know something about the land there that they were on and that Harvey ended up with. Now, let's see. Charles Castile's house was along the road there, and Harvey's next to
behind Harvey's.
Behind Harvey's.
In the gully, kind of.
Okay.
And if you could call it a house. It looked more like a chicken house. I can remember it real plain. Really.
Well, we'll save pictures of it.
There's a little bitty living room here. Living room, bedroom combination, and then this long kitchen area. And I remember pumping water in the sink, and they had a hand pump, and I thought that was the greatest thing.
Because you didn't have a pump.
We didn't have a pump at home, no.
Oh, well, that's a real...
Yeah. And they had a spring that we got water out of in the gully there.
I remember Mom talking about that, spring. They go
spring.
Get water.
Yeah, and they won't let you build in wetlands, but look at, what's his name, 30... What's that outfit that's built down there in the gully? That was all swampland.
Mm-hmm.
Henry. Oil Can Henry's, and they built that all up, and that was all just swamp.
Was that where the house was?
The house was behind Grandma and Granddad's, exactly.
Oh.
But the spring was right behind that house.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where is that with respect to Oil Can Henry's? Is it adjacent to it, or is Oil Can Henry's on part of their land?
Yeah. And what was, well, I don't know if it was ever their land or not. But
well, the land they used.
Yeah. But it was just swampland. You couldn't do anything with it, supposedly. Now, if you have money, then you can.
Yeah. Now, where was Sadie's house?
Aunt Sadie's was up next to Grandma and Granddad's.
Oh,
they were here, and then she had a little house right behind.
Oh.
Yeah, a little, very small. But her, everybody was grown.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Now, I just remember, I guess it was Harv's house.
Mm-hmm.
I was only there a few times.
Yeah. We couldn't figure why your mother and dad moved to Idaho, of all things. Was he from Idaho?
No, he was from Los Angeles, Washington, which is
we
just...
We couldn't figure why to Emma moved clear over there to Idaho.
His sister...
Took Chucky and Chicky with her.
Yeah. Yeah, his sister was up there.
Oh.
And I don't know how she went up there.
That's what we called him.
She married a guy from Los Angeles, and somehow... They ended up there, and then he died, and she remarried a guy from Sweden, John Nelson. And I think Dad went up to work with John Nelson. He just went up there temporarily, as I said, in 1929, and in 1979 they celebrated their 50th year up there. A long temporary.
I have to ask you, are you familiar with the Robbins girl, Artemisia, who married the Spanish guy? Who jumped ship somewhere and changed his name to Thompson?
I've seen the name.
I saw that episode.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Let's see. Who was she?
She was William and Melvina's child.
Okay.
Oh.
I didn't bring.
And there are people around who are descended from them.
Artemisia.
Yeah. What's her name? She used to live here on North Hall Road. Bennett. Millie Bennett.
Oh. I just haven't looked at that branch.
Uncle Bill?
What?
Uncle Bill Jurgens?
No, Bennett.
Oh, Bennett.
And I forgot something else I was thinking. Somebody else. Vince Harbick. You know Vince Harbick?
No, I don't. Mm-mm.
Well, his ancestors were Robbins, and it might have been Artemisia also. But he's an antique dealer in Sherwood.
He was related to Robbins?
To Robbins, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So you have more ancestors around, more relatives.
Yeah, let's see. She was, Artemisia was whose child?
William and Malvina.
Okay, they had seven kids, didn't they, when he died?
Would you get me a
Nathaniel Spencer was
call
the oldest.
Daddy, yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah. And then when she married Lavery, she had another child, Olive.
Yeah, what happened to her?
I was asking you.
Okay, let's see. I don't think I have been able to... I haven't really tried hard, but I don't think I found her.
Hmm.
And as I told you, when her second husband died, his land was supposed to go to the kids by his first wife. But instead, she got went to court and got a third of it.
I don't know, but I'm going to listen to
good
this.
For her.
That's a widow's dowry. Mm-hmm. By legal.
Yeah.
Just come to say goodbye to everybody.
Nice to meet you. See you, darling.
Was it you that brought my dinner?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You are
see
welcome.
See you, Kendall kids.
Bye.
Come to Carlton someday.
Okay.
Do you have extra
we
love
to
do that.
Yeah. I could send you a copy.
Okay, that would be great, because a friend of mine is doing a lot of research on the Castiles also.
Okay.
And I want to see if she's finding the same thing that you have found.
Okay. Can you give me your address?
Sure.
It'll fascinate me for a while.
Yeah, I'll let you write it down here.
Okay.
Let me see. See if I got a pen that writes.
Okay.
Your name and address.
You're talking about physical address rather than email address.
Yeah. Do you want mail or email?
Keep me awake.
I have both.
Oh, he's got a recliner in there.
Street address.
Get on the recliner.
Yeah.
It ain't getting any cooler.
No, it's not.
Well, I know this old guy. I remember it. I mean, I knew her.
and how we knew her, huh?
Water, but that's my cookie.
That research you have there that you're reading from?
Yeah.
What was the source of all that?
A whole lot of sources. It's work I did myself.
So, online?
No, it's...
Interacting with other...
This was mostly visiting courthouses and state archives and stuff like that. So
you've
it's
been
most,
working at it,
huh? Yeah, a lot of this... I don't know when I first did this on Louis Castile and Charles Francis, probably 10 or 15 years ago. There wasn't as much online then. And online stuff is not highly regarded. There's there's a lot of...
I wondered, yeah.
There's a lot of errors in it.
You mean Google don't know?
Well, somebody tells Google something, and so...
That's right. Or Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, or...
Swear by Wikipedia.
Ancestry.com.
Ancestry.com all comes from personal, private sources anyway.
Right. Right.
So if somebody uploads a mistake, then there it is.
I know of a mistake. I don't know if it's an ancestry, but something like that. I wrote up something on my great-granddad on my father's side and gave it to somebody, and they put it online, and then I found out I had a mistake in it.
Well, if my name ain't Summers, there's sure a lot of kids running around it.
Name?
Don't know who they are.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. Who are you, Barnes? Was that the name we were talking
Percy.
About?
Percy.
You're Percy, but where's the name Barnes come from?
That's her husband's name.
That's my husband's name.
But what's his background?
I don't. He's not interested in it.
Okay.
Because there was Barnes that came out with Roberts.
I was thinking, is that
Absalom? Wasn't it Absalom and Emily or something like that?
Okay, let's see.
I don't remember, but I was thinking it's Barnes or something like that, where the husband and wife died.
I'm going to put Percy Castile up here so you know
right.
who it is.
Now,
see, and now, Lloyd, son of Percy, his son lives at Tillamook.
Okay.
And that's John Castile.
John Castile.
Oh, Lloyd's boy?
Janet.
Mm-hmm. I wondered where he was, if he's still around.
And he has three sons.
Okay. Oh, all cast.
He just retired.
Oh, 15 years of research.
A couple years ago.
Who said the Castiles are Jews?
Honey, I didn't. Now be quiet a minute.
Yeah.
But see, I. Do you remember what Lloyd Castile's nickname was?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Mama used to call him that.
Soapy.
Soapy, that's right.
Okay.
So
when his son was born, they called him Suds. Well, I'm the only, me and my kids are the only ones that call him Suds. And when I called him to tell him that Mom had passed away, and his youngest son answered the phone, and I said, "Is Suds there?" And everything went quiet. And finally he said, "Who?" I said, "Your father." And when he came on the phone, he was laughing. He says, "My kids have never heard anybody call me that." So, but he has, his oldest son is in Washington, D.C. He's in the government something, I don't know what. But I hear from him at Christmas. And when the boys got married, we went over to the wedding. Ezra married a girl from the Ukraine because he was in the Peace Corps.
Well, we're gonna go.
You had it home.
But,
yes.
Now,
see
what
us
do you want here? Which write-ups?
Any of them that's on the Castiles, I would like.
Okay, sorry, I got Lewis and Charles, Emma Jane, Peter.
My daughter had found some information on Lewis Castiles,
okay.
Someplace. I don't know, but anyway, just any of that, and then. This friend of mine is doing my genealogy in all four. And so she's got, I think my grandma Castile, she's got her back to the 1700s, 1600 or 1700s right now. We had a pirate that was off the East Coast.
You mean Emma?
No.
What Castile?
It would be Hull.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Paul?
It's
Maria, Mama's, there's some Pauls in her.
I said there's some of these names.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they're related or not.
Yeah, I've got Hauls back in the 1700s somehow.
I know, when my daughter was living in Enterprise, the Barnes goes back to the Hoffman relatives that are from Enterprise. And I know she worked at the hospital there, and she said some I'd claim and some I wouldn't. So she says, I'm not telling them who I am.
Here, the name Hulskoffel? They were Cajuns. No, they were.
It's just.
The Germans that the English hired to fight the revolution.
The Hessians.
Hessians. Yeah. Well, he was a Hessian.
Okay, Daddy. Nice talking.
Oh, thank you.
This is wonderful. You need to come again when you find out some more.
Gosh, yeah. This is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I've learned stuff, but.
Well, maybe next year, if a friend of mine has more information, I'll have some.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah,
it might be the same thing. I don't know.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what she's found out about Louis Castile.
Yeah. Well, that's her main thing. Is she does genealogy all day.
See, I try to go back in all branches, and it approximately doubles every branch you go back.
Right.
It doesn't quite double because cousins marry cousins.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So. But it. So I'm working on my great-great-great-grandparents, which I've got about half of them located. But Louis Castile has been a dead end. Mm. I just can't find whether he came from Ohio or Spain or someplace else.
I was telling Myrna earlier, I was reading one of my magazines last night.
It must have been converted.
It's a Victorian-type magazine. And there was a couple in Ohio, their last name is Castile, and it's spelled the same way, who do a lot of antiquing, and they had decorated this house. And so I'm going to see if I can find out through the magazine and who did the story. His name was Rich.
Weren't they
Rich Castile or Rick
Spain?
Castile, something like that. So,
sure.
But something, you know, when you come across people that their name is spelled the same,
or even close,
lots of different ways they spell. So,
I made notes on some of the Castile names I ran across. The one I haven't followed up and haven't tried to is Elijah Castile, because he was with Lewis in Indiana in 1836.
Yeah, and I see, I think, Grandpa's brother that died, Alton. See, my Uncle Lloyd's middle name is Alton, after him.
That's where the Alton came from, of my Uncle Alton.
Uh-huh.
Alton Robinson. That was whose? Percy's?
It was his brother.
Percy's?
Brother.
Okay.
And Harv. But their brother.
Okay. Does Google have a lot of ancestry stuff?
They said you can't count on it.
It's a good starting point, but you may need to verify.
But that would be the one that was ancestry. That died because Mom told me that
put stuff on
when Lloyd was born,
right,
they named him after Grandpa's brother, Alton, that had died. And I don't know how he died.
I didn't realize that they had a son named Alton, Emma and Charles, that died. Oh, wow.
I don't know where he came in the family or how old he was. He wasn't, I think from what she said, he was quite young when he died.
Okay. Now, Alton said, my Uncle Alton said, he was supposed to be named Alta if he was a girl, and he wasn't, so they named him Alton. Now, it may have been some combination of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's where my Uncle Lloyd got his middle name.
See, who was Lloyd? He was
Percy's son.
He was
Percy.
Percy's son, okay.
His tombstone, he's buried there in the cemetery with
And you know,
Grandma
Lloyd wrote a story about old Hank.
Yes, I sent that up to the Because I had that story. Mom had given me that story a long time ago.
Oh, that's
Lloyd used
great.
To
that's
tell me stories
from.
About old Hing.
Oh.
Well, you don't remember.
Yeah, but I remember the story. No, I don't remember no, him, I don't but remember I remember the story.
Yeah, since I found that and stuff I was going through, so I just made a copy and sent it up.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So.
Corky's sitting in his recliner digesting all of this.
I mean, Rose.
Probably out like a light, isn't it?
Our great-grandfather.
Don't have any picture of her. Just
well,
him.
Yeah. There was an admiral
too bad.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I think he's a pirate.
The picture we have of him in front of that old house.
That's his second wife.
His second wife. Okay.
You have it?
So nothing.
Who's the person we met with in Dallas one time?
In Dallas?
Yeah, when they're somehow related to Castiles. I forget who they were.
In Dallas, was it? No, they lived in Newburgh.
Let's see, Rains side of
the. It's in a canister.
Whoever
a
married mm-hmm. Rains. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was basically Castile ancestors of some kind. Anyhow, she said somebody had done genealogy and then sanitized it and took out all the.
Oh,
and, which is a disappointment.
It is.
Those are the interesting people. Well,
I'm going to turn this off now. I want to thank everybody. This has been fascinating. And the Historical Society will keep this as a record.
Okay.
And
well,
people will be able to look up things about the.
Did you give her your email?
No.
So that she can.